Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. What a way to start my show off. Yes, I'm always laughing. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. I am so excited. I've got someone on that's going to be with us this evening, and she's recently been on the show. She's returning tonight, and we have an interesting show for you tonight. It's going to last for the full hour. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. You still have time to tune in to tonight's broadcast to catch the show in its entirety. But if you should miss it, you can certainly catch the show in its entirety about 15 minutes after the full broadcast airs simply by going to drjessewalker.com and listening to the show in the archives. My special guest we're waiting on, she will be into the studio momentarily. If you're listening live, you can go ahead and press 1 at this time, and we'll be more than happy to line you up in queue to be able to speak to the host or to my special guest this evening. Once again, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. If you want to call in, you can call 347-857-1769. If you want to listen by way of internet, you can simply go to my website, drjessewalker.com, press the play button, and you'll be able to hear the show in its entirety. If you should call in while you're listening to the show on the internet, we're going to ask that you lower your volume so that we don't receive the static on the other end coming into the studio. All right, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and introduce to some and present to others. My featured guest for this evening, Apostle Flora Samuel. We're going to go ahead and bring her in. Apostle Samuel, are you there with us this evening?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. It was a pleasure having you on Friday night's broadcast. And for those of you all that are listening around the world, if you missed that show, you really missed a great show. So I would encourage you to go back in and listen to the Friday show. That archive when Apostle Samuel shared some of her life story with us, and I found it to be quite interesting. So once again, Apostle Samuel, tell my listening audience a little bit about you, those who are just hearing your voice for the first time this evening, what it is you do, how you do it, your book, Broken Chains, how they can get it, how they can get in touch with you, email, telephone, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, great. Good evening, everybody. My name is Flora Samuel. I am a licensed and ordained pastor and minister of the gospel. I'm also a counselor. I started in ministry approximately a little over 20 years ago, about 23 years ago. I have a great story myself about relationships, about a couple of marriages under my belt, and we may have a chance to get into that a little bit later. But you may reach me at florasamuelministries.com. You may email me at florasamuel2012@yahoo.com. And let me spell my name for you in case it's not coming through clear. It's F like in a flower, L-O-R-A, S like in Sam, A-M-U-E-L, at 2012, I'm sorry, at yahoo.com. That's FloraSamuel2012@yahoo.com. Again, my ministry website is FloraSamuelMinistries.com. You may obtain my book, which is called Chains Broken, at Amazon.com. You may also order it from my website, the ministry website. It's also linked there. You can click on it. It'll take you directly to Amazon.com. My book, Chains Broken, is about a mindset, about being delivered from our mindset. When we think bondage and we think about things that keep us from reaching our full potential, we have a lot of hidden potential within us, and it's untapped. And this book talks about opening up the mind and breaking those mindsets that hold you back from living and being all that you can be.
Okay, well, excellent, excellent. And I'm certain that we'll probably be able to touch on some of the excerpts from your book this evening, Broken Chains. And chances are, since you have so much to share with us, and you're going to be back for part two of this broadcast on next week, is that right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, so since you have so much to share with us, there's a good chance that we will touch on some of your book. And I would imagine that some of your book is a result of your life story. Is that right?
That is correct. It is my life story. It is my journey. I talk about being delivered. I talk about my power of choice, because we do have a opportunity to make choices, and the choice is up to us. And I call also my testimony. So I talk about all the things that I've gone through in life, pretty much the last 20-something years of my life, about my struggles, about my triumphs, and most of all about the triumph from an oppressed mindset to one that's fully liberated, and now I impart that and encourage others with the liberation that I have found.
All right. As a result of Friday night's broadcast, I've had a number of people that have inquired. They don't recall hearing the price of your book. How much is it for your book?
I'm sorry. It is at $18.99. I'm sorry if we forgot to mention that. It's $18.99 at Amazon.com. I also have some available for those who are local in the local area. I have them available myself. And you may reach me at area code 954-240-3845. Again, that number is area code 954-240-3845. As well as if there is additional questions or just little things that you want to ask, I'm free at any time to be able to answer those questions. Or you may leave me a message and I will return your call.
Okay. All right. We're just about ready to get ready for our opening story.
Yes.
But just before we do that, I want to ask this question of you, Apostle
okay.
Samuel. If you say you've been in the ministry now for about 20 years. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
What is the most challenging aspect of the ministry that you've encountered during that 20-year span?
Actually, letting go of an old mindset. As far as the challenge for myself personally, that was my challenge. Now I see the challenges that we are so inundated and so locked into living life the way that we know and that we are comfortable with, until it's hard for people to break out of habit so that they can embrace some of those great things that are there available for them.
Okay. All right. We're going to go right to the story tonight. Our characters in tonight's story are Gretel and Harold. Gretel and Harold, and we want to go ahead and thank all of you all for joining us on tonight's broadcast. Now, for the record, this show does not have all the answers, but together with your help, I can assure you we will find some answers that may prove beneficial to your relationship. So please stay tuned with us, and we thank you for that. The heart of the matter is always everything. The character, once again, characters Gretel and Harold. Now, just over 3 years ago, Gretel's big day finally came. That's right, it was the day of her wedding, the biggest day of her life at this point, so she thought. She had now met the man of her dreams in Harold, the man she met in her junior year of college. Now, Gretel grew up in a very religious home with mother, father, and several siblings. At the age of 13, Gretel took a vow to remain celibate until marriage, according to her religious beliefs. After meeting Harold, Gretel shared with him her position on being celibate to see if it was something he could deal with throughout their dating stages. Now, of course, it proved challenging for him, but in time, he assured her that he could remain faithful also until marriage. Gretel really had faith and trust in her man, Harold. Things had been going extremely well in their marriage up until 6 months ago, when Gretel received shocking and disturbing news about Harold's 3.5-year-old son from another woman. Gretel, of course, wasted no time in doing the math to realize that Harold was not faithful to her during their dating stage as he had promised. Harold ultimately apologized for all the lying and deceit that he had caused Gretel and tried desperately to seek her forgiveness and make a fresh start. Each time he has been confronted, now get this, and this is the key for our story tonight and for the show. Each time he has been confronted by Gretel, his only defense has been he is not perfect and no one else is either. At the end of the day, Gretel can't believe this has happened to her. This has left her confused. This has left her confused and not knowing whether to remain in the marriage with Harold or not. The couple has no children from their marriage. Questions are that we lead you all into tonight. There are 6 questions, and there's going to be a whole lot of other stuff that come with it. The first question is, are there any perfect people on earth? Question number 2, was it a reality for Gretel to expect Harold not to be sexually involved with someone else while dating her, even though he promised to be faithful? Question number 3, are men wired differently from women, since it may appear that men can't hold out like women can? Question 4, why is Gretel so shocked over this situation, which may have had him waiting for more than 4 years to be intimate with her? Question number 5, do you think Gretel's parents reared her with the mindset that the world is a utopia? Question number 6, and final question for this segment, could this situation leave a horrible scar on Gretel's future, whether she stays with Harold or without him? Please hold on to your seats, your computer, and definitely your phones for the answers perhaps to these questions and much more, which brings us, of course, to tonight's topic, the illusions of finding perfect love in imperfect people, part 1, starting right here, right now, live on the Dr. Jeff Walsh Show. And let me say to my listening audience, I want to go ahead and thank Apostle Samuel for this topic. She wanted to do this topic. We ran past the producers, and they said that this would be an excellent topic to run for tonight's broadcast. So here you have it. We're going to go with it. All right, here we are now. All right, let's start with you, Apostle, and let's ask the question. First question, are there any perfect people on earth?
Yes.
There are some perfect people on earth. Okay,
yes.
That's the first time I've heard that.
Yes, and I'm going to tell you why. It takes me into another subject. There is scripture that says, be ye perfect, for I am perfect, which is the Lord speaking to us according to scripture. Now, she was raised in a religious family, but there are perfect people. Now, the word perfect does not mean the way that we see perfect in the world today, and especially in the Western culture. We see perfect as I'm doing everything right, I'm not making any mistakes. But the word perfect means mature. So are there mature people in the world? Yes. And it does not have anything to do with age either. This is not a chronological age bracket. It is how you mature in your mindset, which can be done at any age. But there are perfect people. Now,
okay, let me ask this, and we're going to ask, because it is the show really goes fast, and there will probably be people that come on the air and they want to ask questions. There are going to be comments that come in. And we're going to ask that your responses be kind of short because we're going to do a part two of this as well. Now,
okay. Where
do you get your definition from that perfect means mature? Let me just ask you that.
It is Greek and Hebrew. It means to be perfect means to be complete. The translation in the dictionary in Western culture that we have today, perfect means I make no mistakes. Therefore, it sets up expectations that are unrealistic upon others.
Okay. All right. Now, okay, confused right now. I mean, I've never heard that there were perfect people on earth. We're going to go to the phone lines just before we continue. We're going to go to 919-875. Who do we have on the air this evening? And thank you for joining us. 919-875, who do we have on the air?
This is Gloria, Dr. Walker. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gloria. Thank you for joining us. Gloria, I've just been told by Apostle Samuel that there are perfect people on earth. Have you ever heard that before, Gloria?
There are perfect people on this earth?
That's what
this
Apostle,
earth here?
I guess this evening is telling me. And the word perfect, she says, is Greek, comes from, it means mature. Is that right, Apostle Samuel?
That is correct. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mature.
Now,
I have to beg the difference with her. I don't think there are any perfect people here on this earth, but what I really call it about is in the beginning of the in the reading of the story, I didn't know whether the young lady was married or she was single, and her beau were waiting for her waiting to get married. I didn't know she was married already, the young lady.
Okay, no, the beginning of the story, that's Gretel and Harold.
Our story
was, it's a marriage of just over 3 years, but they met as juniors in college, and they when she shared her story with, meaning her, Gretel shared her story with Harold that her position was that she's going to remain celibate until marriage. Even though it was a struggle.
Yes, that's why I asked, was she married?
Yeah.
They did get married.
They did get married. Ultimately, did get married. And Gretel discovered later during the marriage that Harold had a 3.5-year-old son. And she did the math and realized that Harold had cheated on her and he had broken his promise. Now she's wondering if he was true or not. Gloria, we're going to ask you to hold the line just a second. We're going to go back and we're looking at some information from the dictionary here on the new dictionary, and it talks about, when you talk about perfection, it talks about, or perfect, complete in all respects, without defect or omission, sound flawless. That means you're not making any mistake. And Apostle Paul, are you telling me that, Apostle Paul, I'm thinking
that's
about
okay.
the Bible. That's not, now, Apostle Samuel, are you telling me that you're perfect? Are you perfect?
Yes, the reason why I am is because
so my audience can hear you. Once again, I'm going to ask that question very slowly.
Okay.
Are you perfect?
Yes.
In other words, are you complete in all respects? Are you without defect or omission? Are you sound and are you flawless?
Okay. I am perfect because my Father is perfect and He's in me. There are two different mindsets that we are dealing with. If someone is on the spiritual level of the mindset, then I'm perfect, they are perfect, and all is perfect. If you're not of that mindset, then we are looking at perfection based on what we do versus a position that I have in Christ.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought right there. We're going to come back to you. We've got the phone lines that are just buzzing tonight.
Okay,
I want to answer that, please.
Okay, Gloria, hold your thought just 1 second. I mean, this is really, and I don't want to get sidetracked from tonight's topic because I really want to talk about the illusions of finding perfect love in imperfect people. Okay,
yes.
But Gloria, go ahead, give us your thought real quickly, please.
Okay.
No, well, I know that some of us are striving for perfection, but I have never known there to be a perfect person. on the earth.
Okay.
I mean, the Adam and Eve at first. And then even they were not perfect. So I have never known of another perfect person.
All right. We're going to ask you to hold your thought, Apostle Samuel. Just one moment. We're going to go to 205-908. Thank you for joining us. Who do we have on the air this evening?
Hey, this is Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Jack, welcome back, Jack.
Oh, hi. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Jack, did you have a comment? Jack, are you perfect? Are you a perfect person, Jack?
Well, I'm striving. Let's put it that way. I heard what everybody was saying well, just a few minutes ago. I've been on about 5 minutes. Can I comment on all of that from my
sure.
perspective? Okay,
I am
going back to Adam and Eve. According to what I read in the Bible, Adam and Eve, they were perfect.
Yes,
okay?
They were.
They were perfect in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they sin, of course, you know, you're not perfect at that point because they're sinful. But now we are born into sin and we're shaping into iniquity. So therefore, we're not perfect either, but now the only way that we can be perfect, and I think this is what the young lady is trying to allude to,
yes.
The only way we can be perfect is to be perfect in Christ. We're not,
exactly.
we definitely are not perfect. We can't even be perfect because of our sinful tendencies at all. But through Christ, we can be perfect, but it's not our perfection. It's Christ's perfection,
mm-hmm.
just like it's Christ's righteousness. It's his righteousness, mm-hmm. not our righteousness. But he covers
right.
us. He covers us with it. He covers us with his righteousness. He covers us with his perfection and all. And so, therefore, even if we were to, let's say we went out, we're in Christ, and we were to go out and something happened to us and we died. But we're okay because we're covered with Christ's perfection and with Christ's righteousness. So that's what I think she was alluding to, what she was saying.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. It says, be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. It is him living that life through me that I am perfected. Again, perfect, and so we can move along with the show. The word perfect is not so much where we think that is, I do everything right, because none of us could fit that.
No.
But that's where the grace of God comes in, and that's a whole different subject. That perfection means I'm complete. I don't want for anything because I'm whole in my mindset. If my mindset is whole, I am therefore whole.
All right. We're going to ask you to hold those thoughts. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. So going back to our story then, Apostle Samuel,
mm-hmm.
and for those that are listening as well, then did Harold get it right, or did he get it wrong when he told Gretel, you know, the fact that his defense was in having this 3.5-year-old child where he didn't keep mm-hmm. his promise to her to remain celibate until they got married. Did he get it right or did he get it wrong when he told her that there are no perfect people? He's
he
not
got
perfect
it wrong.
He got it wrong.
He got it
okay.
wrong. He was using that as an excuse. And then again, in his defense, it depends on where he is in his mindset.
Okay.
But
you know, yes, Dr. Walker, the heart itself, the heart is evil. The heart.
Okay.
We can only strive for perfection from the Lord. You know, we cannot be perfect.
All right, but in the
There's
case
no way we
Harold,
could because of our dirty hearts. We cannot be perfect, but we can strive for that perfection, like I said. I can't see anyone here on this earth being perfect. I just can't see it. I can see, like you and Jack, like the young lady and Jack said about the whatever they said anyway.
Striving for perfection. Let me ask a question to Jack quickly here, and that is,
mm-hmm.
I heard you say that Adam and Eve were created perfect. Is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah,
that's
they
correct.
Were created.
Yeah. Let me ask
mm-hmm.
a question. Let me also ask this
mm-hmm.
question. Then if something is without flaw, that is flawless, it's complete in all aspects, if we accept that definition, then how could that which is perfect become imperfect and sin?
That's a very good question, and the answer to that is that they were given a test. they had to prove themselves, and God gave them the test, and they failed the test, so they had to endure the imperfection after that. Once they failed the test, that was it then.
Okay, but were they actually created innocently as opposed to created being created perfect? Now, my thought would be if they were created perfect without flaw, they were complete in all aspects, then that and Apostle Samuel talks about a mindset, then I would think that perfect mindset would not be a mindset that's subject to error.
Can I respond to that? Now I don't agree with the mindset part of that because I don't care how righteous we think we are, we're subject to sin. So it's not our righteousness, it's not our perfection, it's Christ's perfection and all. And I wanted to make sure that you heard me what I said about Adam and Eve. They were perfect in the beginning until they sinned, and they were given a test. That was the test that was given to them. So once they failed the test, then they were no longer perfect. They had to be kicked out of the Garden of Eden because of their imperfection and all. So that's where that came about.
Well, then, if that be the case, a baby being born innocently, okay, has no knowledge of right and wrong, good or bad. So they grow up, and then they get themselves into stuff that are not stuff that man's standards just do not accept, and they get involved in a life of crime or go contrary or transgress against God's law. Does that mean now that that man or that woman, that young man or young woman, they ultimately grew up, even though I know they're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, but weren't they created innocently? Wasn't there an innocence about them until, you know, that perfection comes from Christ? And I don't want to get sidetracked from tonight's broadcast, but I do want to say that, you know, I'm struggling with some things that we're presenting tonight.
I'm struggling
with something, and that's probably going to be another show altogether on that particular topic.
When Adam in the end, we know this because we read the Bible. When Adam sinned, you know, the death came about because prior to that there was no death. Lee started king and all of that. Now he didn't die instantaneously, but he started dying from that point on. Now when as a result of Adam's sin, death passed upon all mankind, even though we're born into a sin, as you mentioned, we're shaped into iniquity and all. So we became infected by it as a result of what Adam did. So it's already, the sin is already there for us, okay? We're not perfect at that point in time. Adam sinned, so therefore it passed upon all mankind, and so death passed upon all mankind. We are infected by it, and we are affected by it. But as a result of Christ's death, we all can be made new creatures again. So that's the hope of it right there. We can be made new creatures again.
Thank you very much. As a matter of fact, I was just getting ready to chime in there. It seems like we've forgotten that Christ came because he's restored everything back to.
That's right. The
bottom line. And so we can move on to the reality of it. The bottom line is that Christ came to redeem, and he redeemed us back to the position that we originally had. Therefore, mind must be renewed according to the scriptures, according to the word of God. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I'm sorry to cut you all off. We're going to continue this. They're letting me know now we're going to continue this on Friday night's show. We're going to do a part one and a part two with that. And the show, the topic will be, does perfection exist? Does perfection exist? And we're going to continue that. And we're going to invite all of my listening audience that's listening now to that Friday night broadcast when we do part one. Apostle Samuel, will you be available to be my future guest, and all of those that are listening? Would you like to be, since you put it out there?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Apostle Samuel, your future guest that night. Okay. And
I will be a guest. Yes, I'm honored that you've asked me. My stand, however, will be on perfectness.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. We're going to have a discussion on that. Now, let's go back to tonight's broadcast. I really want to stay on this here because my listening audience really want to hear about the illusions of finding perfect love in imperfect people. Now, we're all obviously we're disagreeing on the subject matter tonight on what's been presented in terms of perfection. You know, we have some that are saying Well, we have actually Apostle Samuel that's saying that there are perfect people on the planet. She's given us a definition, and for the sake of time, because the hour is vastly, I mean, just speeding up,
yeah.
I want to go to the question tonight and say, by asking, I mean, let's just go directly at it with Gretel and Harold. Should Gretel stay with Harold? And, Gloria, we're going to go to you and ask you that question first. Should Gretel stay with him when he betrayed her? He broke his promise to her. He's got a 3.5-year-old son when she thought that he was celibate during that time.
Yes. Should she stay with him? You know, that's kind of hard as far as a relationship is concerned. You know, it's according to what's in a person's heart and how much she loves him in spite of his differences. You know, we all have differences. We all have differences, and we have faults, all kind of faults, and we fall short. And, you know, if she's still in love with Harold, maybe they can make a go of it by staying together and her forgiving, you know. It's according
all right,
to
but how he she... to her, he deceived her. I mean, can she really trust him again, Gloria? I mean, if it were you, could you really trust him? I mean, she just discovered this 3.5 years. He never even came out and told her that he had a son out there. I mean, Gloria, really?
Wow,
come on.
That's very hard. It's very hard.
All
but
right.
I'm sure it's according to how she still feels
she loves,
about
him. Okay. All right, then. She loves him so much, he might go out there and have another child, you know, and then come back and ask for forgiveness. Jack, let me go to you real quick. Jack, what do you think?
Well, you already know what I'm going to say. You already know what I'm going to say, and I know you're going to disagree with me, but I'm going to say it anyway because I feel that everybody deserves another chance. I feel that even though he may have deceived her, she may be upset with him at this point in time and all, if she can find it within her heart to forgive him, then let's go, give it a go at it. Now, if he does it again, then my recommendation would be her to, you know, kick him to the curb. But right now, if he's legitimately sorry and he said to her that he's remorseful for what he's done, even though she found out on her own, a lot of times people might not think that you're going to find out, so they refuse to tell you. They're going to bury the hatch, bury it wherever. And then now that you brought it out and that you know, then he has to come clean and share with her, yes, I do have a child. But if she can find what's in her heart to forgive him, they could have a beautiful marriage. Who knows? I mean, with God, everything is possible.
But, Jack, isn't that deceit when you know something is going on and you're not coming forward with it, when the person trusts you and believes in you?
I think that every situation, in the case like this, you can't. He probably should have come out with it. But in every situation, you don't reveal everything to everybody and all. Now, I know you may not agree with that. I just don't believe that you have to reveal every single thing, because all of us are saying, I mean, what about if he just held a lie back, a big lie that he had, another big lie, something else, something simple, something not this severe. But he held that back, and she found out 2 or 3 years later down the line. So, you know, I mean, sin is sin in God's sight. I mean, one sin is no different from the other.
Okay, but there are some lies are greater than other lies. I mean, are there some that, you know, a white lie? Remember how they say, don't tell a little white lie? I mean, so are some more magnified than others?
In the sight of God, it's all the same.
They're all the same, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, I got to ask this question here. You're saying it depends on, I heard Gloria say it depends on how deeply in love she is with him. If he knows he can probably get away with that one, I mean, how are you going to hide? It's time now for that little child to have their sixth grade graduation or their high school graduation. And now they've been married now 17, 18 years, and all of a sudden he throws it on her. Oh, by the way, I got my kid that I forgot to tell you about is graduating next month, and I got an invitation to go to the ceremony. I mean,
we don't know when he would have come clean had she not found out. He could have felt so guilty later on down the line that he said, well, I got to tell her, and it's up to her to decide whether she wants me or not. And then I want to liken it somewhat to a situation like this. Someone in your family was killed by an individual, and they put him in jail. You got to find it within your heart some kind of way
to forgive that person for killing a loved one. Now, some people say, I'm not going to forgive him because he shouldn't have killed my loved one. But there are people that have gone to people that are incarcerated who have killed their family member and all and tell them that I had to find within my heart because I was so bitter, so angry with you, but now God has restored me, so I'm coming here to forgive you for what you've done to me. Now, that's love. To me, that's love.
Okay. Are you listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769? If you want to speak to the host, my featured guest, or you want to speak to the issue, that the topic tonight, please press 1. We will be glad to entertain you. We're going to go to 954-226. Thank you for joining us this evening. Who do we have on the air with? And go forward with your question.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose. And as I listened, I have to agree with Jack and with Gloria about the forgiveness there. And I think if she loves him enough and if she can find it in her heart to forgive him, then it's a possibility that they can work it out. Of course, I believe that they would have to go through counseling, professional counseling, because that trust that was broken will have to be earned again. And I think that they would need some counseling in order to build this back, you know, to where it's healthy. But I believe we all mess up one point or another. And just as we ask God to forgive us, we need to learn to forgive others. Because how then can we pray the prayer, the Our Father prayer, and even ask God to forgive us when we can't forgive our fellow men? So I think it's very important that, number one, she needs to forgive him for her sake, not even so much for him, but in order for her to move on with her life, she needs to forgive him. And if she still loves him and she thinks that there is still, you know, something within her heart, then yes, I would say go for it. Try to work it out. He made a mistake and he was wrong. He should have told her, but, you know, that life is not always what we want it to be.
Amen.
All right, thank you for sharing that with us. But, you know, I can see the forgiveness part. I really can. But I don't think you have to wallow in foolishness by staying there. Because, I mean, Harold, he deceived her for a number of years. And all of a sudden, it was like through discovery. Somehow or another, she found out. And it wasn't like he came up and said, oh, by the way. It wasn't like he came up with this this disclosure for her. She found out on her own. And now you're saying, well, I can see forgiving a person, but staying there, in my opinion, I mean, this is just me. And you know, we respect all opinions. I say she needs to just kick him to the curb and keep going. We're going to bring Apostle Samuel back in there. So I guess that means Rose, Gloria, and Jack. I sort of have a difference in opinion there.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
let's go to Apostle Samuel here and ask this question. Why is Gretel so shocked over this situation, which may have had him waiting for more than 4 years to be intimate with her? I mean, she made this vow since she was 13. They got together in their junior year of college, and I can certainly respect that she wanted to be celibate. But now he was having to hold out when they met in their junior year, and it's almost like for maybe about 4 years. I mean, why is she so shocked? I mean, couldn't you think that this man, where science says that men think about intimacy several hundred times during the course of a day? Apostle Samuel, what do you think? Why is she so shocked? Somebody help me with that, please.
It's because she had expectations, and there was nothing wrong with her expectations. There is nothing wrong on either side of this. I agree with the forgiveness, and I think that they should hang in there. If that is something that they can do, and only that person could answer that. But I think they both should hang in there and work things out. But there's nothing wrong with her expectations, especially if both of them agreed. Now, if she had decided that she wanted to wait and had not shared and had this conversation and understanding with him, there is nothing wrong with her expectations, and I don't give men the excuse that they are wired differently. It's all about control, and again, I'm going to go back to the mindset. That's all that it is. It's going to be your bigger head over your lower thinking of your head.
Okay. Apostle Sammy, you were on my show Friday night. And
yes.
And if I want to throw something out there because you called, you brought it out on Friday night show. And, of course, if you don't feel comfortable with this, of course, just say I'd rather pass on it if you don't mind. But I'm sure that there's some of the stuff that we discussed as I talked to you off the air is in your book. Now, you shared with me on the previous show, and it's public record now because you brought it out there. You shared with me that you got married for the first time, and then you divorced, and you remarried the same guy 5 years later. Is that right?
Correct.
And when I asked you on Friday night's broadcast, I say, well, why did you, how old were you when you got married the first time? And you told me you were very, young. After you told me some of the background information, you told me you were very young. And then you recall the age that you told me when you married? Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you just had a hilarious laugh at it. I was
well,
34, but I was brought
up
very stricken by very naive in my upbringing.
I understand that. I do understand. But I want to, I'm making a point here. You married at 34 the first time, and then you were in that for 5 years. And, and I'm not throwing the picture out here because I am not a perfect person. And I mean, that's for everybody's record. I'm not a perfect person, and I would like to strive towards that if there's such a thing as being. But I would like to ask why then, you know, that marriage didn't last, so you divorced a second time to that same person that you married twice.
Correct.
Is that right?
That's
okay,
correct.
Why didn't you hang in there? I'm just trying to wonder if everybody deserves the second and third and fourth chance. Why didn't you hang in there, Apostle Samuel?
We did have a second time around, and like I told you on Friday night, we are best of friends now. He looks to me as a spiritual leader in his life, and we're best of friends, and we talk about that journey we took together. It was a learning lesson for both of us, so we have no regrets about it. We moved on. I moved on because I no longer want to be emotionally tied up. We were separated before we ever got the divorce. We were separated about a year. So for a man, he can just run down the middle of the water and just, you know, he's in the boat going down the middle of the river, and he don't rock the boat one way or the other as long as you, the woman, go along with it. So emotionally, I had to set myself free if I was going to move on. So then I initiated the divorce the second time.
So even though imperfection, if things aren't going the way you would like them to go, and I'm just throwing this out here, then we detach ourselves emotionally so we can move on. Because you are remarried to someone. You are married again to someone else now, right?
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. We've got some comments that are really coming in.
Can I come in?
Yes. But give me just one second.
We've
got some comments that are coming in, and we're going to bypass the food for thought tonight because we're going to do that next week at part two. Apostle Samuel is going to be with us, and again, Apostle Samuel has a book out. It's called Chains Broken. And for those of you all there that are just tuning in, just before we bring Jack back on, Apostle Samuel, will you go ahead and give him a little synopsis about your book, 15 seconds or less. How they can get your book, the cost of the book, and your email address.
Okay, excellent. The name of the book is called Chains Broken, C-H-A-I-N-S, broken, meaning mindsets being broken off of you that causes you to think in limited spaces, cause you not to be all that you can be and all that I know that we can be. It's available at Amazon.com or my ministry website. You may order it directly from there. That's FloraSamuelMinistries.com. You may reach me at area code 954-240-3845. My book is about my biography, my walk and journey through grace myself, overcoming mindsets, overcoming things that we've talked about tonight, knowing that people are imperfect while they are yet perfect because I'm looking at them through a different sight. And so it's about my life and the wholeness of that. Now I am complete in Christ. And so I give that back to my audience now, and I give it back to others, that same liberation.
Right. And those of you all, just before we bring Jack back in, I just want to say it may appear like it sounds like I'm calling her life out there, or I'm throwing rocks at her, and that's not what I'm doing, because I am not perfect. I've got my own skeletons in the closet that be. But she and I have talked off the air. She shared things, and some of the things that we talked about you will find in her book. Am I right, Apostle Samuel?
Oh, yes, and I don't mind if you ask any questions. My life is not mine. It belongs to those who need help themselves and who wants to be set free. So I'm an open book. I don't have a reputation that I need to protect. My life is sold out to Christ, so then I'm free to ask any questions that people may have.
Okay, we're
going to
go ahead and bring you back into the studio, and go ahead and did you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I just wanted to say to your radio audience out there that I too am not perfect, and I don't claim to be perfect. I have skeletons in my closet, and I'm sure there's things that I've done in my life that, you know, I regret, and that, you know, even while I was married, and I regret that, and so I haven't shared everything with my wife. It's not like it's a secret. It's just that some things I present to God and to God alone, and I'm going to say that if my daughter was in a situation where it was an abusive situation, and I know you talked about if you're perfect, then why not stay in the relationship? But if my daughter was in an abusive situation, then I would be the first to say, no, you don't stay in that. There's no reason for a man to put his hands on another, on a woman, okay, the weaker vessel and all. So I'm just saying that we're perfect. Our perfection comes with Christ. And that's the only way that we can be perfect. And it's not our perfection. It's Christ's perfection and all. But if my daughter was in a situation like that, I would be the first to tell her she needs to get out of that situation.
Okay. All right. Gloria, are you still with us? Did you have a question or a comment?
No, I'm here.
Okay. Let's take a look
I don't
at,
have
please.
Another comment about it, the situation, because I think, just like Jack says, you know, if we can live on this earth and we can ask God for forgiveness, then we can forgive ourselves, because that's the only way we're going to make it to heaven. We forgive others.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Lori, let me ask you this question. Do you think men are wired differently from women, since it may appear that men can't seem to hold out in terms of sexually or intimately, like women perhaps can, some women that is?
Yes and no.
Good way.
Because we know this physically different. And also, no, because, I mean, if we're grounded and rooted, even the man, grounded and rooted in Christ Jesus, of course you can overcome these obstacles. You can overcome those things, sex and the whole and the nine yards, yes. So I believe that men can overcome those things, that obstacle.
Yeah.
All right. Jack, what are your take on that? When God has really put that nature into man, could it be suppressed, controlled, or? But it is a natural element. It's a natural factor of man, of humanity.
Well, Paul has said that it's better to marry than to burn. I think my mother even shared that with me too. It's better to marry than to burn. So if you can't contain yourself, then you might as well go ahead and get married and all. I agree with what Gloria was saying. You know, I mean, we have those tendencies there. I do believe that men are wired differently and all. But sometimes it's forced upon us that we have to stop doing what we're doing. And the Lord, sometimes he will cause you to be in a situation where you really don't want to be there. And then at that point, then you know you can't do anything at that point. But I still feel that with God's help, everything is possible, that we can be overcomers. But it's only if you're rooted, like she said, you have to be rooted and grounded. Even though those tendencies are there, you have to be rooted and grounded. That's the only way.
That's the only way. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Apostle Samuel, do you think that the expectations for Harold to hold out were greater than what he could do? And I mean, it's almost like it's obvious he didn't hold out. Were the expectations too high?
No, not at all. It depends on the individual, on the person, and what he only did what he wanted to do. So therefore, you know, we give him full responsibility for doing what he did. But I believe that he could have held out if that's what he desired to do.
Right.
Now, if he desired to hold out and he was getting weakened to the point to where he couldn't, and they should have had a relationship where he can say, you know what, honey, or, you know, no, there's not an R. They really should have communicated that. He should have communicated that. That's what a man does. So he could have communicated that he was getting weak, and then they would have they could have moved their wedding date closer. So there are other options other than going out and having sex. There are other options.
Right. But do you think men think about
I'm sorry, Gloria, what are you saying?
Know too many men would have confessed up to that part. Really. They probably just gone out and did what they felt was best for them at that point in time, because she's celibate and he's claiming to be celibate. So, and his nature arose at that time, and he felt like he needed to satisfy that. So he went and did what he felt was best. He got caught. I mean, when we said the Bible says, "Surely your sins will find you out," he got caught because he impregnated the other lady and all. So he couldn't hold out. He was making it known. It was known. It was a known fact that he couldn't hold out. So he did what he felt at that time was best for them. Now, later on, he probably regretted that because of the consequences that happened. But it happened now. He has to live with the consequences.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's take another question. We've got about 8 minutes before we start bringing the show to a close. We're going to, once again, they're letting me know that we're going to bypass the food for thought tonight. do you think Gretel's parents, this question here, I'm going to throw this out at Jack. Jack, do you think Gretel's parents, she grew up in a very religious home, you know, with her father, her mother, and several siblings. Do you think her parents reared her with the mindset that the world is a utopia?
I'm not going to say so much that it's a utopia, but they wanted their daughter to be a virgin. They wanted her to be clean and save herself for marriage and all. I don't think that's basically, if you want to look at it as a utopia, I think that's how it should have been from the beginning. And I think that's how it was in the beginning until sin just ran rampant and, you know, infidelity and all of that. And you see so much of that on television, which has caused everybody to go awry and crazy and so forth. No, I don't think they raised her in a utopia world. I think she felt within her heart, because even though you raise your children one way, it depends on the individual. They can go, you know, slightly different, an off course a little bit, but she decided in her own mindset, this is what the pastor is talking about, the young lady you're talking about. She's saying that it's a mindset, and this is the mindset of this young lady, that I'm going to save myself for my marriage. She's going to get this gift on our honeymoon and not before. That was her choice.
Okay.
That's right.
So having said that, she saved herself, and come to find out, even after the fact now that they're married, he didn't save himself as he had promised. That promise is a serious thing. It's a vow. So, I mean, you know, he didn't save himself. So now we're asking the question, should she stay with him? And we have varying points of view in response to that. Now, could this situation, Apostle Samuel, in 15 seconds or less, could this situation leave a horrible scar on Gretel's future, whether she stays with Harold or not?
Only if she allows it.
Right.
Good point.
Only if she allows it.
With you saying that, how would Broken Chain relate to that? Your book, how would it relate to that? What advice, if any, would you give someone like Gretel? You know, when she comes to you for spiritual counseling, what would you tell her? Of course she loves him. But now, you know, she wants not only the spiritual aspect of it, but she wants the practical. Because, you know, in her mindset, you speak of mindset, she's going to wonder, you know, that can take some time to heal. Plus, will he do this to me again?
She will heal, but she has all that in her hand. She holds the key to all of that. He doesn't. See, her future is not dependent upon him, even if she stays with him. her future depends upon her. First of all, she has to make a decision. If she decides to stay with him, she must learn to trust him again. However, on the same end, he must walk a certain walk to help earn that back again.
Okay.
But ultimately, she determines how her future is going to be led out because she's going to make changes within herself. She cannot change him. The changes will need to be made within her and her mindset about what it is that she wants in life, what she's looking for, and how she's going to go about attaining it.
All right, let me throw this out to Gloria, and we're going to bring Jackie in. Let me just throw this out to Gloria. We got about 3 minutes and 35 seconds. Let me throw this out to Gloria quickly. Gloria, let's say you have a son, and this happened with your son, what Harold did. Now, you find that Gretel is your son's wife, is constantly badgering him. She's forgiven him, but she's badgering him with this constantly. Oh, you did this here. It's 5 years later. She's still badgering him. Would you want your son to go through that with her?
No, I wouldn't want him to go through that with her.
Right.
What would
no,
you
I really wouldn't.
He says, Mom, I can't take it anymore. This woman, you know, she won't, you know, she's not being intimate with me on a regular basis. Because every time, you know, I think about it, she keeps throwing that up in my face. Has she really forgiven him, Jack?
No.
You're talking to me? Okay, I think, no, it's not really if she's going to do it that way. But I think the apostle was saying it correctly. It depends on her. If she has a state of mind that I'm going to forgive him and I'm going to move on. I'm not going to badger him about that. I'm not going to bring up the past. I'm going to move forward from there. Because we have to remember that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, she may be of sin, not the sin that he's done, but she sinned in the way that she sinned and not his way. And then we got to learn to get into the act of forgiving. When
yeah,
she
right.
asked the questions, how often am I to forgive my brother? She just told him, not one time or two times, but 70 times 7. That's 490 times. And that doesn't mean that you wait until you get to the 449 or whatever it is, and then you say, I guess you got one more time. No, that's not it. It's getting into the act of forgiving, because think about what he's done for us and how he's forgiven us and so forth and all. Now,
yeah.
That's how I look at it.
All right. We're not going to be able to bring it. Let me go ahead now and say this. I apologize to those of you all that sent you in your comments. We will entertain. We'll catch up in part two of next week, all the comments that have come in. Because we only have about 2 minutes and something for the close of the show. But let me just ask this here. You're mentioning now about forgiveness and giving that person that second chance. And, Gloria, I think I heard you say correctly here that you would tell your son if she's going to badger you, just go on with your life. Now, we're going to bring Rosie in real quick and give her an opportunity to comment. Go ahead, Rosie, speak to you.
Well, now you're putting a condition to it. Now, and I would agree with Gloria, if she is going to be badgering him 5 years down the road and withholding herself from him, then obviously she's not handling it too well and she might not need to be there. Now, of course,
right.
He needs to give her some time, and that time might not be disclosed, you know, in order to get over it. He might have to go through some badgering initially. Okay, because she needs to heal, and she might bring this up several times because she needs to go through this and heal, and he did deceive her. So he has to be aware that, yes, it is going to hurt him. She is going to badger him. But, of course, 5 years down the road is a little bit too long. By then, if she's not healed or somehow tolerant of it, then she might need to move on, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about that.
Okay, Jack, quickly, this question goes to you, Apostle Sammy. We're going to give you the final word in a moment. Jack, quickly, after Gretel discovered, after she discovered this, now she's withheld from him sexually for 6 months. I mean.
That is simply wrong. I can answer that for you, and that's wrong.
Yeah, that is. I don't agree with that. Go ahead.
No, I want to go to Jack real quick.
Okay, yeah.
What should we do, Jack?
Yeah, I think that's wrong. I think it's wrong. I think, yes, it's going to need time to heal, you know, as Rose said and all, but it shouldn't be a long, long period of time. Yes, she may badger him just for a little bit and all. Now, he can understand that, but if she's going to keep it, because, see, you got to go back before you can go forward. They got to go back a little bit, and then now they can move forward.
5 years down the line is too long. She shouldn't be holding out on him because that's not what the Bible. She's a Christian, and she's not supposed to be holding out on her husband.
Okay. Right. All right.
Without
consent. Apostle
Sam, go ahead.
Yes.
Apostle Sam, we got about 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay.
Give us your final thought.
Forgiveness should be unconditional. That's really quick, and I don't believe that it should take. I don't think that one wrong doing another wrong makes any correction.
That's right.
And
on that note, we are clearly out of time. I want to go ahead and thank all of you all for joining us tonight, Jack, Rose. We also, those of you all here, you all that we couldn't get to, we are clearly out of time. We do apologize. We apologize for not being able to go to the comment section tonight. But next week, we're going to start the show once again on time. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. Choose to bypass this Friday. We'll see you on next Tuesday. Love to hear from you, the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until then, everybody, thank you once again, Apostle Samuel.
Yes.
Until then, everybody, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.
Good night.
Amen.